Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm doing good. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, right? I'm doing well. Hopefully you guys are too.
Yeah, Tuesday. It doesn't really matter what day of the week it is for us, but I think just about a week ago, Packers are kind of now, or about a week ago, started undergoing the OTA process, and we'll talk a little bit about the OTAs, but mostly we're here to talk with Zach Pawlowski as part of our continued Packers fan series. So, Zach, how are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, really appreciate that, Zach. A couple weeks ago, we had another Going for Two live member, D, Los D Mix from the Speak On It pod. So pulling a little bit from there, there's a bit of Packers fandom at the Going for Two family. So thought we'd bring you on, and guess what? We're going to talk about Christian Watson among other players. So there's a bit of a connection there.
I'm known to talk a thing or two about Christian Watson. So yeah, let's I'm ready.
Well, yeah, so I think right off the bat, I mean, that seems to be the big news at OTAs. Aaron Rodgers isn't there. So, you know, Jordan Love led offense, seeming like he's getting at least the chemistry with all the rookie wide receivers in particular, but you know, the three guys drafted, and especially the top two guys. So Christian Watson and Romeo, I still haven't figured out how to say his name properly. Is it Dubs or Dobbs? Because I've heard a lot of Dubs lately.
Dubs.
Yeah, I've heard it 9 different ways. I go with Dubs.
So. No one knows, but Zach knows. Thanks, Zach.
I used to think it was Dobbs, and then after watching enough pre-draft stuff, I realized all the Nevada guys were calling it Dubs. So I'm trusting the Nevada broadcasters, coaches. I'm hoping they're right.
I think, if they're not right, he would have left a long time ago. So.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we'll trust the higher authorities there in the broadcasting booth at Nevada. So I already forgot. Dobbs, right?
Dobbs.
I didn't forget it.
Like
Dobbs.
The
Dubs. Yep. Yeah. So he's golden. He's a warrior, right? Like he's going to fight through everything. Jesse, I know you kind of made the comment that Dubs is standing out. That's a W, right? Like if he's standing out, that's a good that on a fourth round pick, that's going to be good, even though it is OTAs, there's no pads, but any specifics?
Yeah, no, just today, I was just reading some Twitter. He was shining, you know, of course, you know, no pads. So let's not flip out and act like this is everything. But 3 out of the first 4 passes went to him. Clearly, you know, just separating, looking good. You know, he's not a young rookie. Something that the Packers haven't done in a while. They drafted some older players this year. So I just think he's a little more polished, and that was kind of the talk. Like he's looking pretty refined already for a young guy. I mean, we'll see, but it's nice to see that this fourth round guy that a lot of people had in their top 100 is kind of showing out already. But again, it's early.
Just to speak on the older prospect, like I think isn't Devontae Wyatt 24?
Yeah, and Christian Watson's not young either. So we grabbed some older guys.
And I think, takeaway from that is knowing how much, especially at wide receiver, they need a kind of immediate contribution. So maybe not. Wow. They want guys that have a bit more experience in college and can kind of transition a little easier than if you say you're coming in at 21, if you're not Jamar Chase.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
I think it also shows, you know, some of these guys, for example, a Christian Watson, I believe he was a 2-star recruit coming out. He wasn't this big name guy that was heavily recruited, and guys can progress into someone that's very prominent and highly sought after in the draft, where obviously it's great to have this big name 5-star recruit that every college is trying to get. And then he is a bona fide number one pick right away. That's awesome. But sometimes it's not always that way. And I trust the Packers with the athletic profile. I know they usually pursue that via the draft, where you might not have seen it via the stats or the production in college, but the build is there. I mean, we've saw that with Rashawn Gary, Eric Stokes. I believe there's a few others as well where, you know, the athleticism is there, the potential is there, but the stats from their previous level were not.
Packers in the front office and whoever Gutekunst and the team and the scouts, they see the traits and the talent they want, not so focused on the production profiles.
Exactly.
No, those are all great points. Yeah. So what you've just seen what we got in Gutekunst so far, he likes the RAS score. He likes the athlete and they can mold him, right? Like it, you look at his drafts, he got good damn athletes. Now, exactly what you're saying is, you know, yeah, you can be that five-star guy, but young and raw, but oh my God, this guy's got all the skill in the world. Well, this year, let's take some seasoned guys that grew up in a system. They got better. They matured as men. Cause you can look at the Christian Watson. I'm sure you know better than me. When he came in, he was an immature kid. Right. And you look at his interviews now, this guy's getting it. He's ready. You know, I'm not going to say he's going to jump off the screen right away, but the game's not going to be too big for him. I don't think so. Yeah. It's just a different attack this year, but it's smart bringing guys that we feel can handle it. That might be a little bit older, might be a little bit more developed, but hey, yeah, throw them in there.
And no, I completely agree with that. The progression is key, but also I look at someone like Watson and Dubs as guys that they have things that they need to improve on. However, they're not physical limitations. It's, you know, route trees, or for Dubs, it's a lack of focus watching the ball through, you know, on some dropped catches. But Dubs, for example, I've had him in a few Devy leagues. This was a guy I've been monitoring closely for a while. Last year, I mean, he was hot and cold, but one game he had 11 receptions, 159 yards and 2 touchdowns, another 19 receptions for 203 and 1. Like, those are some massive stat lines. And obviously, weak conference and Carson Strong at QB, but you don't get individual game stat lines like that for no reason.
Oh, right. Yeah. They went his way. It wasn't like he had 3 catches for 180 and just outran everybody. Like, they threw him the ball every time, you know, and you look at Christian Watson, he's coming from He's coming from a run heavy system, but when they did throw the ball, he got like 25% of, you know, all passes his way. So when they do get their looks, they make the most of it.
He's a good run blocker too. I know that was something emphasized when he was coming in pre-draft. And with Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, I love the fact that if this guy can block and he's willing to block,
let's do it.
Absolutely. I mean, I watched some of his interviews post-draft where he's talking about just wanting to do whatever the team asks. He's ready to try and win. He just wants to get out there and fulfill any need they ask of him. And that's the kind of guy they need right now. You know, obviously there's some questions in the wide receiver room right now, but a guy that's willing to do whatever it takes, that's going to get yourself on the field a lot more and be granted a lot more opportunity. Plus, I look at Watson where he's got the certain mentality, certain leadership, locker room presence, where I believe that when Aaron, who we know isn't the nicest to any of his receivers, to say the least, with Watson, if Aaron goes over to the sideline, yells at him, says, "Hey, what the hell was that?" This is a guy that will be able to progress from that, not hang his head and mope around about it or just get in his head. He's going to use that where he can progress from it and develop.
Right. And that's that maturity thing, you know, between the ears, where you can break that young 5-star guy, like you said, who might be 20 years old, and Rodgers or a Brady or someone come bark at him on the sideline, they might be done for the game. Like, they're mentally broke. Kids like that, and like a lot of Alan Lazard in his game too, where, hey, anything you want me to do, I'll come do it, and I'm going to do the best I can at it. And you got receivers that want to block downfield and flatten dudes. Yeah, sign me up. Let's do it.
Well, it's funny. I mean, it could be that Christian Watson and Alan Lazard are starting opposite the field on, you know, first play of the game, and they're both out there run blocking, right? Because of that skill set, can maybe why they drafted Watson so highly. Jesse, just looking at your notes you put for Watson specifically, you already mentioned one of them, and you've mentioned it actually a couple times, the maturity, what he's like, the things he's saying in interviews. He's talking the part, but it also looks like he's walking the part as well, in terms of the athleticism isn't just a theoretical number. Like, it seems like he is showcasing what the athletic profile says it would, and the RAS score and all that. And he's, you know, it's not just workout numbers. Like he can apply that to the game. It seems like, at least that's what's kind of showing at OTAs.
Right. Yeah. You know, again, you know, let's take everything for a grain of salt, because we're going to talk about his big skies falling thing right after this, I'm sure. But, you know, like when you got guys like Randall Cobb and other and coaches saying this guy just moves different. You have a big guy, and yeah, Davante Adams was great. Is he the most athletically gifted wide receiver you've ever seen? No, he just did the nuances of the game. Christian Watson, when was the last time we drafted any receiver in this kind of James Lofton, maybe Sterling Sharp? Like, and I'm not, that's athletic traits, right? I'm not saying that he's going to be those guys, but as far as his gifts, this guy has those gifts. He moves different. He is big. He can return kicks. He can, you know, just usually those lanky guys can't, you know, avoid, you know, tacklers. This guy can. He's that. The hype is real. The hype is real.
And it's funny. You talked about, like, you know, Dubs. That was the issue, is the drops. But it seems like Watson dropped a pass at OTAs, right? Just like, we shouldn't overreact to the positives, also not necessarily overreact to the negatives either, though, right?
Yeah. It seems like every day he's dropped a pass, you know, and people are already saying, oh, he's worse than MVS. I sometimes I just need to quit looking at Twitter, because people are panicking already. But it's like, listen, these are fixable things, just like with Dubs, you know, some concentration drops, they happen. You can work on that. That's not a physical thing that's bad. It's a lot of it that it, because he is a hands catcher. That's one thing. Like, if it's coming into his body and he's dropping it, it's okay. You got to fix his mechanics. He's dropping a few passes. It's going to happen. Again, pump the brakes on everything. It's even keel.
It's a new environment, right? Like, you know, you're finally right with an NFL team. It's the big leagues. That there's a bit of added pressure. You're not a first round pick, but sure, he's putting on that pressure on himself to kind of perform right away and impress his teammates and his coaches. So, you know, probably this is the first week he's gotten passes thrown to him by Jordan Love. I'm sure once he gets used to Rodgers as well, that'll get even better. Just better quality passes. Not really sorry, yeah, Jordan Love. It's just that's the way it is. So no panic at all. Zach will still probably take Christian Watson 104 in a rookie draft. No problem, even with the drops.
And he wouldn't be really wrong for doing, like, listen, Christian Watson knows he might not have been a first round pick. He knows the deal. He knows what the room looks like. He knows the expectations. Like, it's not, hey, we're going to bring you on slowly. Like, we're going to need something from you. If all we get right this first year is you go deep and just, you know, try to keep the defense honest, cool. I think by the end of the year, you're going to get a lot more from him. I really do.
I agree with that. I think we'll see a lot right off the bat. I think it'll take, you know, step by step throughout the season to really get to the high hopes, but progression, and there will be some sort of production starting week one. He's not going to be Amari Rodgers last year.
Right.
And I think
he's going to get manufactured touches for sure.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot. I wanted Green Bay to take him so bad. I was saying it before the draft that we were going to get him. And I know everyone says he's not a first round guy, or he wasn't taken in the first round. They pretty much took him in the first, 34th overall. I mean, second pick of day two, they traded up. They were aggressive in getting him. I mean, in my eyes, they just wanted to prioritize stacking up the defense like they did, and then they got their dude, because obviously those top six went really early. Yep. So, hey, they got their guy, and I think the expectations are high in the organization, but I think it's also from a standpoint of, we really think this guy has all the tangible things that we wanted in getting that guy.
We traded with freaking Minnesota to get him. So, yes, he's a first rounder to us.
Just another reason I want him to be that good, just to rub dirt in the wound with Minnesota fans.
Yes, sir.
But I mean, he knows he's not a first rounder, not because of the talent or anything. It's because he knows what the contract is.
Yeah,
he knows he's not getting that first round money. And I believe he is the last Packers rookie that has not signed a contract, at least of the drafted rookies. And so first, a great article on Packers Wire by Brandon Carwile. I'll actually pronounce people's name. I can't get I finally got dubs. That took me forever. Doubles the amount of time it should have, to be honest. Just mentioning that from the info from SpoTrack, and this article was written 3 days ago, so maybe it's changed since then, but only 11 of the second round rookie picks have actually signed their contracts. Right. And even for the position of receiver, it's not that unusual. This is the third year in a row that the 34th overall pick was a wide receiver. Elijah Moore last year and Michael Pittman 2 years ago. And I guess part of that is the, you know, those guys, like we're all saying it, they're basically first rounders. I mean, especially Christian Watson, the argument of you traded up for me, right? But the contract details will still sort of limit them to that second round pay. So maybe that's just a little bit of wiggle room that needs to happen. And again, back in looking at Carwile's article, he talks about Elijah Moore last year really bumped up the guaranteed money in the contract. That's kind of what that was one that took a little bit. And then eventually he really wanted the guarantee and kind of pushed for it. So there is wonder that is that maybe what Watson's kind of holding out for. But even so, I mean, he's still showing up to OTAs. Like he's not letting the lack of contract be a distraction. He's still showing up and working. And so at least confident that something will get done and doesn't seem to be any panic. And we, not to say we should panic, but it is just of note that he is the last of the drafted Packers rookies to sign a contract.
No, good points. So the biggest thing with that too, like you're saying, I didn't read the article, but what you're saying, it's also that fifth year option is a big deal, right? So you got a guy that went two picks ahead of you, that there's a fifth year option where you can get that pay before that next contract. You know, that's that guarantee that you don't have as a, you know, after a first round pick. So I get it. You know, those guys that go, you know, 33, 34, somewhere in there, you're trying to wheel and deal a little bit. Nothing to worry about. He's going to be signed. But yeah, no, that interesting little article. I need to check it out.
It makes me a little nervous, not going to lie. You know, I just want him signed already. I just want to know everything's perfect in the Christian Watson Green Bay Packer realm. But It'll come.
Right.
Just some more news, and I guess, you know, be patient, right? We really got to be patient with David Bakhtiari. And I know people are already kind of freaking out that he, I believe he was at OTAs in terms of present. I'm not sure, but definitely not working. He's not going to the field, not doing any drills. He's not participating at all. Obviously just in meetings and things of that nature. Not that a 30-year-old five-time first team all pro vet really needs OTAs much, but so just that's really not a negative. But Matt LaFleur not talking about a whole lot in terms of where Bakhtiari's progress is exactly, but he has mentioned that this isn't a surprise that he's not participating in OTAs, that the plan all along was to have him active for the start of training camp, and that's still a little less than 2 months away. 7 weeks, whatever it is. So there is still time for him to get to that point where it's better, but it's, I guess, in kind of implying that he's not quite there yet. So I don't know how much panic there is there.
No panic at all from my perspective. Like I mentioned to you pre-show, I mean, I saw him sideline of the Bucks game. You know, he stood up, he chugged that beer, he looked just fine there. And if he's doing that, that's a good sign for me in regards to he's fully healthy again. Otherwise, I'm sure he wouldn't have been standing up right there.
Right. He had a nice pivot with it. Yeah. His footwork looked good with that beer. No worries. I'm the same way. Listen, if he never had the injury, he wasn't going to be practicing in OTAs. It wasn't going to happen. Again, this goes back to the let's not get too excited. Let's not get too low. He's there, which is cool. I actually saw a tweet with someone said, I'm sitting behind David Bakhtiari on a plane. So that's cool. Yeah, man, when we get to training camp and he's not out there, then we can start worrying. But right now, it's business as usual. They're not going to put him out there. He's doing his own work. I trust the process. There's smarter people than me. He's fine. Just breathe.
And like Kyle mentioned, he's 30 already. Why add extra miles? I know it's only OTAs, but any extra still usage, hey, just chill out. We know what we have in you.
Yep, 100%.
Just take your time, be ready to go when we need you.
Yeah, he's a pro's pro, man. He knows what he's got to do. He's good. So, yeah, that's to me, that's water under the bridge. I don't read into it. But of course, it's clickbait. So you're going to see a lot of stuff coming out. Just relax, y'all.
And I mean, like, it seems like LaFleur is getting kind of asked about it. And he's just kind of sticking to it. Yeah. We're letting his body kind of heal. And we know and I think LaFleur not even expects him to be ready for training camp, kind of says hopes he's ready for training camp. I'll be honest. Like, even if I'm perfectly fine him sitting out training camp entirely, not in that he's not ready to go, but just to play week one. Like, don't do anything but play week one. Play only when it matters. Like, you know, not playing him in week 18 against the Lions and instead having him play in the playoffs and reverse that. You know, that's just my opinion. So I'm perfectly fine if he doesn't even do anything at training camp. But if he's not ready to go during training camp, that is still a problem, though, because we
18 months out. Yeah, that's a problem then.
Let me just see first drive of, you know, preseason week 3. That's all I need. You know, just the first drive, pull him. All right, cool. We know he's alive and healthy.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah, 15 plays, scoring drive, take everybody out. We're good. Let's go beat Minnesota's butt. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm perfectly content if he doesn't even play that. Like, I'm cool with him not doing anything in preseason at all, knowing Jenkins probably isn't. Okay, try and play preseason with your backup tackles. Try and get that, like, get over that hurdle of be able to do that, because you never know when you have to be able to do that in season. So get used to that right from preseason. Maybe that's, I don't know. That's me. I'm just especially with a guy like Bakhtiari, just play him when it's necessary.
And some of those offensive linemen the Packers took via the draft, I mean, those guys have experience at tackle and guard. So, I mean, hey, if you want to get them more diversified now through preseason, I know it's only preseason, but hey, more experience at more spots, I'll take it.
Preseason's slightly more significant than OTAs, though, right? Like we said, it's just OTAs, just preseason.
Yeah.
And that's the Packer way, right? We talked about it, you know, 2 episodes ago, where we get versatile linemen where you can put your best 5 out there and get guys that can play multiple spots. And it looked like we hit everything, you know, from left guard over. Man, those guys can play everything. Who really is the backup left tackle? Did we go back to Yash? And I thought he did, you know, a really good job. So it'll be interesting to see the guys that they trot out there and what they're going to do. But Adam Stanovich, you know, from O-line to offensive coordinator, he's got to figure it out, dude. We're fine. Unless we get crazy injuries coming up, I love this O-line group and I like what they're doing.
I guess going over to the other side of the front, we'll say, and the defensive line got the minor addition. The Packers signed Chris Slayton off of waivers. He was released by the 49ers. And I just kind of looked up Slayton. He was a 2019 draft pick. I believe the Giants took him in the 7th round. So all in that range, kind of the long shot to really make it. But this will be his 4th year. He hasn't played a regular season game yet. So maybe this is, I remember reading he's been on 6 different practice squads. So we'll see the Packers could be one position group where maybe the depth was most important to acquire. I would say wide receiver, D-line, O-line, kind of going into the season, those were the positions where certainly at wide receiver, the high end needed to be there. But I think at all positions, the depth really needed to be there. So I think he has a chance to crack the roster, knowing that I saw that Tyler Lancaster is definitely not coming back to Green Bay now. He signed with the Raiders, I believe. So,
right.
You know, that's one body that wasn't even there, but was maybe thought of they might be able to sign him, bring him back. But, you know, you've got your main 4, I think, on the interior D line of Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, the incumbents there. And then the new additions, Jerron Reed and the rookie Wyatt, as we talked about earlier.
And TJ Slayton, too.
They'll probably keep at least 5 defensive linemen, if not 6. So Slayton has a chance at the back. And oh, yeah, you're right. TJ Slayton. So, Slayton, not Chris Slayton, TJ Slayton, and it's spelled differently. So that's not going to be confusing, is it? But Chris Slayton, I mean, he has a chance to maybe make it in as that last defensive lineman. So with a guy like that, he's probably just hoping for the chance. So at least he's on at the start of OTAs. He's not just coming in training camp sort of behind everyone. Like, he's going to get at least a fair opportunity. Obviously there's some players on the team that have been with Joe Barry before and I've been on the team and know the system. So he's not necessarily ahead of those guys, but at least he's going to have all off season to know the coaches and try and get familiar and have a chance. But yeah, again, 7th round picks, usually a long shot to make the team, especially when they've been cut by five or six other different teams. So, yeah, we'll see if he can do anything.
I'll keep my fingers crossed. Not high hopes at all, but I mean, same thing last year with Douglas. I mean, guy cut a few practice squads and suddenly we're re-signing him to a nice deal. So, I mean, I'm not expecting that kind of turnaround necessarily. I think that's too high of hopes, but I do trust the Packers front office and identifying talent where, you know, maybe just the right fit or the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can make the roster, but wouldn't hold my breath on it.
Right. It's big boy football, right? You bring in bodies for camp because these guys are going to beat up on each other and, you know, you don't want to see your top D linemen do it. So yeah, exactly what you're saying. You know, I'm not holding my breath, but hey, every year somebody comes out of the dust and makes the roster and surprises. We'll see, you know, and that's what makes camp interesting too. You go into it and hopefully everybody stays healthy, knock on wood somewhere, but you know, bad things do happen. Sometimes you need these guys to come in and actually show something. So we'll see.
What's the streak at again, Jesse? How many straight years have been that a UDFA has made the Packers final 53? Oh, man.
I know we talked about it. It was like six or seven, I think, for sure, right? Like that someone's made the roster as, you know, undrafted. I you put me in a spot. I don't know for sure. Oh, I'm sorry. But it's six or seven, I think.
I feel like you always remember because that's why I asked you because I don't remember. But yeah, I thought it was somewhere. I thought it was at least more than five. So,
yeah. I'm not sure. Good trivia. Someone can come up at us and give us some knowledge.
Yeah, tweet us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. All right, so now the fan portion of the show, right? I mean, Zach is a Packers fan and clearly a fan of Christian Watson.
The flag behind me and the shirt on.
Yeah, our podcast listeners now have the visual of it. Vikings. So.
The hate for Vikings, I love it.
The Vikings, the Bears. I don't really hate the Lions. I sympathize for them more than anything.
Oh, no, Kyle. You're going to lose again this week.
Well, hang on. So who is your – well, we'll start with that because we get new questions we ask every – everyone's coming on for the series every question. So we'll start with that one. Who is your most hated division team? Is it the Bears or the Vikings?
It is the Bears. Ooh, and this is more due to the fact of not just being a Packer fan but a Brewer fan and a Bucks fan where – it's the division rivalry across all the sports. And, you know, Milwaukee teams are commonly treated as the little brother to the Chicago teams. Yeah. So the Cubs and the Bulls have the more marketability, bringing in the big names, all that kind of stuff. So I've always hated those, which I believe carried over to the NFL. And I happen to live in Chicago now. So being surrounded by Bears fans, it cherry on top. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Week one of 2019 when Rodgers got hurt and then came back and led the comeback, I went on Facebook Marketplace, or I was just scrolling through Facebook. I go on Facebook Marketplace though, and I just see this long list of Mitch Trubisky jerseys for like $5 a piece. And I was loving it. I felt like Eric Cartman licking Scott Tenorman's tears. Just like, oh, this is so great right now.
That's, yeah. I mean, watching the Bears lose is not nearly as dark as that episode. Love that episode, but holy crap.
It was at that point because prior to that game, that's when all the Trubisky hopes were really high going into that year. And after game one, they lost all hope.
The Khalil Mack trade and everything. And yeah.
It all went downhill. I loved it. Yeah.
Oh, it almost, God, like the Scott Tenor episode, it almost gives you chill.
It does.
Exactly.
We went a little south with those jokes. Okay, we're in North Dakota, North Carolina. That's where we're sticking to. We don't care about the South. Not the South Park. I guess, Wisconsin, Packers, it's north. Even Chicago, yeah. You're still north. So sorry, Jesse, to insult your southness, but you're still in North Carolina. You're in a north, so you know it's always
yeah, up, right. You didn't insult me. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it takes a lot more.
So. It's because we're talking basketball, talking fandom. I mean, literally, right. our nation's basketball team, the Toronto Raptors. It's we the North, right? Everything's about the North. So,
I think for me, with the Bears versus Vikings, the Bears have done more. I guess I always view Vikings fans insulting Packers as just jealous outsiders.
Yeah, the Vikings have as many professional championships as I do. So
yes, exactly. And that's where, you know,
say that one more time.
The Vikings have far fewer professional championships than the Lions do. So that's Lions have three. I think they have three. They had three in the '50s. I think that was it. There's just that one era.
And I mean,
just football. Yeah.
The Bears at least made the Super Bowl when they lost to Peyton. So, I mean, they've been more relevant. The Vikings, you know, they make a playoff run or wild card. Maybe they win the division, but it's always a quick exit. So I know there's more animosity, I guess, because they really feel the community holds it against us more. I feel like when I go on Twitter, Vikings fans seem a lot angrier. But I mean, at the same time, I say that, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers did say, "I own you," to Chicago fans, and they still, I think, have nightmares about that, which, you know,
they will until they beat him. So
if
it's gonna happen.
Chris Slayton probably has a better chance to make the Packers roster.
Wow, there we go. Good job, Kyle. No, I get it. So yeah, you're in Chicago, which I know you see a little bit of green and gold down there, which is good. But so I respect Chicago fans as a whole, though, because we can talk trash and all this, but they do have that backing where they have won a little bit and stuff like that. I know they live on 85, but hey, good for you guys, live on it. But yeah, the Viking hatred is real. Like they are mad, they are jealous, they are all that. Where the Bears, it's like, yeah, we can pot shot at each other, but listen, both franchises matter, right? The Vikings don't matter.
And go ahead, Kyle.
Well, one thing I'll say about that 85 Bears team is that might be the greatest football season ever. And I mean, you know, you'd probably, if you're going to argue anything, it's the Dolphins' perfect season. Frankly, they're still popping champagne every time the last undefeated team goes. They're still celebrating that one. So I think Bears fans can still hold on to the 85, to be honest.
Of course they can.
And I think that's where my hatred or distaste for Bears fans is more prominent, just because there's also that mutual respect. I guess, right. I just don't have that for Vikings fans as much, where it's like, okay, you're chirping a lot, but it's like I said, the Cubs fans and the Bulls fans treated the Bucks and Brewer fans like little brothers. I mean, that's how I feel with the Vikings. It's like, oh, this is a lot of talk, but I haven't seen you do anything, so I don't really care. But with the Bears, when they're getting a little bit more sensitive or defensive, it's a little bit more attention paid to it.
I love it. No, great points. I mean, I hate all of them equally, or not really equally, but
you don't. You
know? Yeah, no, I don't, because we can go to your team, obviously, Kyle, and that's, you know, I think we agree, like, we have a little bit of sympathy for the Lions. I don't know why, but.
I mean, when Ndamukong Suh was there, I think the Lions stole that title for a short period, just, you know, stomping on Rodgers' calf. I mean.
Yep.
And then who did he also like kick someone in the face too?
TJ Lang.
It was TJ Lang. Oh, I couldn't believe that someone would do that to TJ Lang. But anyway, I guess, yeah, I could. It's Donkey Kong Sue, as I always refer to him. Because I mean, there's no much difference than the video game character. He's going around smashing everything, temper tantrums. Like, it's Donkey Kong Sue. Anyway, we'll barrel along to the next topic as I mess up the transition. Well, I lost life. No. So yeah, not a video game guy, clearly. And yeah, not a Lions guy either. But so the tally is, so far, if we're counting the co-hosts as well, we've got 3 for the Vikings, 1 for the Bears, 1 for the Lions. So
I'm glad we'll, I could be the one Chicago. I think the Chicago one also doesn't help that when I drive down the freeways, I have to see hair loss commercials. Advertisements on billboards of Brian Urlacher talking about hair implants or whatever.
Still?
Oh, they're awful. Yeah, no, he's the main market guy, and they're terrible puns. But, you know, none of them are about winning Super Bowls, so.
Right. I guess you
don't want a false advertising lawsuit. Come on.
I mean, I guess you do live there, so I 100% can get it, and that would drive me nuts too. So, I'm happy I'm in North Carolina now.
Well, it's funny because normally we start with the when did you first become a fan? And we evolved from there. We went right to the hatred. We've got on it for a while, but you want to correct that, Zach, and let the people know, when did you first become a Packers fan?
Born and raised. You know, there's not a great story of how it started. Earliest memories, you know, Brett. I mean, I was born in 95, and that's right when the Packers were really doing their thing, going to those first couple of Super Bowls with Brett. And that was my childhood hero. Obviously, not the best role model. He did have some flaws, but I loved him irrationally. You know, the only guy that could ever get me to somewhat hate or not hate the Vikings for a period of time was Brett. You know, I still, you know, Packers played against Brett when he was in Minnesota, still cheering for Green Bay, but any other week I was rooting for him. You know, that year they lost in the NFC Championship to the Saints, I was disappointed and sad for Brett. I hate the Vikings. I'm glad they didn't win a Super Bowl in that capacity because I love holding that against them. But still, you know, Brett was had a special place in my heart where regardless of what jersey he put on, I wanted to see him succeed. But otherwise, I mean, another little banner I have behind me, I guess, like the story that sticks with me the most is I moved to Colorado when I was 9, and the other fourth grade teacher, her brother-in-law was a backup tight end for the Packers that year. His name was Ben Steele. And
oh, yeah.
Right when I happened to move out there, still a thick Wisconsin accent at the time. And every Monday after the Packers game, she'd pull me out of my classroom and talk to me about the game. And then she came back from Green Bay one weekend, and there was a signed banner from Ben with like a little personal message to me. And so that's probably the story that stands out most, but not a true, you know, like where it originated from.
That's awesome. That's a great story, man. That's so cool. Yeah, just pull you out of class on Monday. Let's talk Packer football. We can go anywhere, right? The Packers live everywhere.
Exactly. No, it was such a small world thing because, I mean, yeah, small town, far ways away from Denver and Colorado. And
right,
just so happens to be the other fourth grade teacher, her brother-in-law is an active player. And I remember it being like, can he get one of these from Brett for me?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yours is great.
No, you would get intercepted.
Just like that NFC Championship game.
Which one? Yep. You're talking the Vikings one, right?
That yeah. Oh, and by the way, while I was so it's not Urlacher, it's Hairlacher, according to one of the signs. Another one says Urlacher tackles balding. Another one says double play, and it's him and someone else that are both bald. Breaking bald
sport.
Breaking bald, ready, set, grow. Urlacher 1, balding 0.
Oh my lord.
O'Hare, Hairport.
Oh god.
Yeah.
That joke it goes quite a few miles. I don't mind some of those. I like some good puns, but most of those weren't good puns. Breaking ball, I'll always replace my heart for breaking ball. So breaking ball is pretty cool.
And they're all over the place. So I've seen so many of them where I'm like, really? They changed the slogan again?
Everyone hated the last one, clearly.
Oh, no, they have a new one. Yeah, it says, great, another restore billboard.
Oh, they're already gotten that meta, though, that they've referenced. Oh, wow. Uh-oh. Now they've jumped the shark.
They've heard me.
Ah, you've been seen. And yeah, your influence has grown, and clearly. Back to the going for two connection, fantasy football. Yeah, that's what going for two is all about, is fantasy sports. And I know you've mentioned, and we've talked on podcasts before, check out the Dynasty Gambit, by the way. And I was actually on for a couple episodes in the last 2 months. So definitely check out all the great going for two archived episodes, but certainly the Dynasty Gambit ones are great. But on those, you mentioned how many shares of Christian Watson you had in your rookie draft. So I don't know if things have changed, but what's the, how many dynasty teams do you have, and how many dynasty teams do you have Christian Watson on?
I'm in an unhealthy amount of dynasty leagues, 8 as of right now. It'll probably still continue to grow this offseason. And I believe when I went on your show for a Dynasty Gambit, I was saying 7 out of 8. And that's because I drafted the 106 slot in a startup. And I was like, oh, no one else is going to be a good. You went 104. So I'm officially at 6 out of 8 for Christian Watson, but I've got him in most. And I have been aggressive in doing so. I mean, anywhere from 104 and 1, and then otherwise 105, 108, 107, all over the first. But I've reiterated this on a few shows. You know, if you've got your guy, just take him. Forget ADP, forget any of that. If you really believe in someone, don't let any other anyone else influence your pick. Just go get him. Because you're going to feel stupid if you say, oh, he might be there at 204 or whatever, and then he's snagged at 112 or wherever, you know. If that's the guy you want and you think that he's clearly going to be this great thing, do it. I mean, I know I've been higher on Christian Watson than most since before the draft. I mean, I had him ranked 8th on my pre-draft big board, which is way higher than most. I have him up to 5 now. So for me, guy who I have 5th, taking him at 4 isn't a reach at all.
It's funny because when you first said 8, I'm like, oh, wide receiver 8. That actually doesn't seem too high. I feel like most people, then I realized you said big boards. So that was 8 overall. Yeah, okay, yeah. That was a little higher than most.
No, I was aggressive on it. But I was also saying a few weeks pre-draft that Green Bay was going to get him. I mean, I had watched enough tape. I had seen enough interviews of coaches at North Dakota State just talking about not only his tangible skills, but his head on his shoulders, you know, where his mentality is at, the kind of presence he brings. And those are the things I really try and pay attention to more. I know there's not a metric for it. I know a lot of people like to cover the college production aspect, but another guy that I heard raving reviews about last year was Jamar Chase. And I'm not saying he's Jamar by any means, but that's another guy where I saw so many interviews saying how great he was mentality wise, where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I already know all the production was there. I know all the physical traits, and he's got the head on the shoulders. Awesome. Yep. Like, that's what I want to invest in, because realistically, natural ability can take you so far, but we've seen plenty of guys flame out where they can't progress any further. They aren't putting that work ethic, isn't there, that ability to listen to the coaches, you know, put their ego aside. I know Jesse was kind of alluding to that earlier, where some guys, you know, Aaron Rodgers yells at them on the sideline, might be like, do you know who I am? Like, I did this, this, and this in college, and I was a X pick in the draft. You know, sometimes you just have to be humbled or have the respect for your peers. And right. So someone like Christian Watson, yeah, I loved all the aspects of what I saw from him early on. And I have a hard time trying to like listen to arguments against him at this point, because I've heard people give him a comp of an MVS Lazard hybrid, which like as a ceiling, not as a current. And for me, that's triggering. I mean I look at it too, where Green Bay hasn't taken a first round wide receiver in 20 years or whatever it is, but they didn't need to for a lot of years. We had Jordy and Greg Jennings and Randall Cobb all at the same time. Then we brought in Devonta. You know, for a while there was a trio there consistently. Why would they be taking a wide receiver in the first? And obviously some questions around the Jordan Love pick. People were expecting a wide receiver that year. But I trust, you know, what the last 5 second round wide receivers Green Bay has taken, I believe it was Jordy, I want to say Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, and Christian Watson. Yep, yeah, that's good company. It's not, you know, that 110 in the NFL draft, like, oh my God, it's Jamar Chase or Player X, where everyone wants him, but it's someone that turned into a really productive wide receiver who had a great career. And that's where I look at Christian Watson. And I say he only gives me 3 touchdowns, 500 yards, and 50 or 60 receptions. And you're like, that's not going to be a sexy stat line that's going to compare to Jamar or Justin Jefferson their rookie years, but at the same time, it's about progression, longevity, about being able to progress. And I think he has all those things where regardless of what he is year one, it's going to be a long career for him. But I am optimistic. I think those stat lines are kind of more my floor rather than my ceiling for year one.
I guess my right, question.
Go ahead.
Well, no, yeah, I want to go to another topic. So go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, and those stats matter more when they show up when it matters, right? You know, you can look at those numbers, but then by the end of the season, December playoffs, where Aaron Rodgers starts trusting this kid and he makes big plays when it matters. Guess what? Throw all those numbers out the books. He's just like Jordy Nelson. You look at that Super Bowl in 2010, you know, he was our third or fourth option, really, but it worked. It started to come together. Granted, it wasn't his rookie season. I get that, but it started clicking. The trust started coming on. You're like, hey man, we got something here. I think we all agree. We can see a little bit in this kid, and I'm excited. Sorry, Kyle, move on.
I wanted to say one last thing too. I know you're trying to move to the next, next part, but with Christian as well, you know, the Randall Cobb is already giving some great reviews of him, saying he's got all the tools and all the skills, stuff like that. I always love to hear. I don't really put too much credibility to it because I feel like we hear that about every rookie this time of year for any team.
Pretty sure Randall said that about Amari Rodgers last year. Not to compare.
Amari's looking good right now.
Randall,
that's more of a joke.
Randall was also biased because of his relationship with Amari's dad. But I look at it with Christian and I just don't know. It's tough to compare. I always see people referencing usage of rookies year one in Green Bay and how Rodgers doesn't throw to them. Every other time one of those second round picks came in, there was a bona fide number one already, even a bona fide number two for the most part. So even if the production was there, they were at best our third or fourth option. And that's where I'm not threatened by Lazard, Watkins, Cobb when I look at Christian Watson. So if he's got all the tools, yeah, he's going to have to build some chemistry. It's not going to be Devontae right out the gates. I get that. Like the relationship and the chemistry those two had is truly unique. But I have very high expectations for Watson, and I feel very confident that he'll reach him.
Well, my question for you, Zach, was going to be, have you ever rostered a Packers player on this many teams in Dynasty or in redraft before?
I usually try and avoid Packers. and I think that's usually how I try and operate across any fantasy sport. I know I have my favorite teams and I watch them. I mean, I watch all the games anyway, but I understand there's a certain level of passion and just, you know, a sentimental attachment to watching those games where I might identify some things a little differently. But no, Christian's unique in this regard. I've had Devontae in a couple leagues. I've had Aaron Jones, but I mean, Aaron Jones is more of a buy low out the gates type of guy, not something that, you know, I haven't been taking them consistently. This is truly unique for me because, I try and avoid it for the most part. And I'm more of a pessimist than an optimist when it comes to my favorite teams because I can usually hunt for negatives I still do. But I can find reasons why not to take those guys. You know, when it was Devontae and Jordy and Randall, it could go to any of them. You know, stuff like that. And so now this is unique where I'm aggressive on getting one guy on my favorite team. And hey, if it works out, I'm right. I have my guy in almost all these leagues and I get to watch him ball out on my favorite team. And there's also complete reverse if I'm.
Yeah. Now we'll hopefully that doesn't happen. But I will just to maybe poke holes in your strategy a little bit. And this is a fantasy pod. There's a full press fantasy pod that people can check out if they want to hear me ramble more about fantasy football. But I've got Christian Watson in one of my rookie drafts so far, and I was going to take him at the 108, and I did the thing you said not to do, and I traded down. Not necessarily like I would have been okay with Pickens or Sky Moore. Like I have kind of all those guys in the same tier. So part of that was also, it didn't need to be Watson that fell to the 202, but that's what ended up happening. And so I turned what would have been two rookies into, actually, I think I just traded up the 108 straight up for Darnell Mooney. So all in on the NFC North.
Hey, I mean, I like Mooney. And I mean, if you can get him at 202, awesome. What I was doing is, you know, initially pre-draft trading up to a high slot. And if I had to take him there, I would. But there was a lot of them where I would trade down a pick or two, you know, kind of surveying the guys picking after me. Who were they trying to get? Was it Traylon? Was it Garrett Wilson? Was it someone else? And as long as I didn't hear Watson mentioned, hey, good for them. I mean, we both got our guys, and I got a little bit of profit back for being aggressive and trading up off the bat. But my main focus was just trying to be aggressive in getting the slot I wanted initially, where then as long as I was getting the guy I wanted, I could play around with where that slot was. It was in my control.
Well, Zach and Jesse, unless you have any other questions for Zach, we get to kind of start the intro outro and let Zach plug his Twitter account and any other content he wants to.
No, I don't have any questions. I just appreciate him being on here. Good insight. Great to just BS with you for a little bit, man. It was awesome.
You as well. Thanks for having me, Justin, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so go ahead. So again, you know you're with Going for Two. Yep. You can talk about the, you've been on quite a lot of live shows, but there is a particular venture you've got.
Going for Two, specifically, I'm on the Fantasy Cheat Sheet every other Tuesday with Drop the Mic FF. You can find me on Twitter at The Big Pulowski. And otherwise, yeah, I'm making guest appearances on shows like The Dynasty Gambit and some other Going for Two podcast. I mean, I'm trying to make appearances everywhere, mainly because, well, I'm always ready to talk football. But yeah, if you're looking for more fantasy football content or sports in general, you can find me on Twitter at The Big Pulowski.
Awesome, dude. And I think part of it is the love for it, right? Like we just love talking and talking sports, talking fantasy, and we definitely do here on the Full Press Packers pod. So, reach out to us if you'd like on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also, your co-host individually, Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. It gives you access to all of the great Full Press Coverage content. That includes articles, podcasts, the Full Press Radio Network, all of that for free in one convenient location, the Full Press Coverage app. So download today. Also, shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song For Your Body as our intro and outro music. So really appreciate PA for that. For Your Body can be found on his latest album, Illa V. So available now wherever you get your music. So Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
OTAs are going on. Business, you know, don't take anything too serious or too depressing, and go Pack go.
Absolutely. Always appreciate hearing that, Jesse. Appreciate Zach coming on talking as well. That was great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Once again, yeah, I'm just glad I could be here and talk Packers, talk football. Always enjoy talking about both.
Awesome. Absolutely. And Jesse, I think we're going to continue the fan series. So again, any other Packers fans that want in, let us know. Again, on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. You've been enjoying these, right, Jesse?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, good stuff. I love all the out, you know, why people are here, where they got here, and how they got here, and it's great. The more the merrier. So if anybody wants to get on, let's do it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing more of these origin stories and all sorts of nature that we talked about today next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.